248-539-9797. So, John, should they keep five receivers? Because let's say they keep four. We agree Williams probably should be the fourth because of his versatility in the return game as well, as Khalif Raymond does also. So you have, as you mentioned, Brown, J-Mo, Raymond, and it would be Williams. You also have on this team a guy named Laporta. You got a guy named Gibbs. Do you even need another receiver with the offensive weapons that this team has on the main on the everyday roster? Obviously, you have guys practice squad.
So the standard answer is yes, you keep five receivers. Now, this gets back to, I'm going to make my answer a little bit longer, because this gets back to the extra roster spot of Nate Sudfeld. Would you rather have DPJ and Isaiah Williams as four and five, or if you're going to keep Sudfeld, not that this is the exact debate they're going to be going through, and keep somebody somewhere else, maybe a defensive lineman, maybe a somebody in the secondary, versus and going in with four receivers. Now, here is also where I want to see Hendon Hooker play most of the snaps. Donovan Peoples-Jones was targeted, I believe, five times in this game and only had one reception. Four times.
Four times, one, and reception, one reception for 5 yards.
Isaiah Williams was targeted eight times for six receptions. Now, most, I want to be able to compare apples to apples. And so I want Hendon Hooker out there throwing the ball to Isaiah Williams, throwing the ball to Donovan Peoples-Jones, so that I get a fair comparison of those targets. Are they drops? Are they, you know, routes that just, you know, hey, maybe the ball was a little bit behind? All of those different things. I want to come from the same quarterback so that I can evaluate those guys going forward under the same circumstances. And if all things being equal, yes, I would rather have five receivers, because receivers get dinged up. We saw Amon Ross St. Brown miss some time last year. If, you know, you look at the roster and you start to see guys that, if Khalif Raymond gets dinged up, then at least you can put either DPJ or Isaiah Williams. I would prefer Isaiah Williams as your return guy. Mm-hmm. But you also have Sione Vaki. He could be a return guy as well.
Oh, yes.
And I thought he played from the running back position really good.
Well, here's another question I have about that. He brought him up. If it comes down to, he's going to make the team. So, but is Craig Reynolds, should he be looking, his agent should be looking for possibilities because he might get cut? Because Craig Reynolds is really good on special teams. He's decent, you know, obviously short yardage situations. He's a good football player, right?
Yes.
But if you got Vaki, who's also really good on special teams and seems to be a little more versatile offensively than Reynolds, what do you need Reynolds for?
Well, last year they kept four running backs coming out of camp. Mm-hmm. And so if you're going to keep four again, and it goes to keeping at third quarterback or not, if you would rather have an extra running back and keep five receivers, then you don't put yourself in a bind by having a player on the roster that's not developing,
right,
and it's not going to be useful if he goes in the game. So then you go with Montgomery, Gibbs, Reynolds, and Vaki, because those guys are going to get dinged up.
Yeah.
And guys, so you have somebody, or you Craig Reynolds, you use him as trade bait.
Yeah, I don't know what you can get for him, but
you could get
There seems to be nobody that believes they're not keeping four running backs.
Right. And you keep four.
The crunch is happening here. Pride of Detroit has their depth chart listed halfway through the preseason, and they have Sudfeld and Isaiah Williams off. They still have Peoples-Jones making the team. They still think the name is like potentially carrying clout here a little bit, but it remains to be seen. But there might not be here's the deal. There might not be room for a third QB or a fifth receiver. I think the guy just looking through their depth chart quick is C.J. Moore, maybe. They have him making the team right now, and they argue special teams value.
Special teams and depth in the secondary.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that, but to me, that's more of a, I'll take C.J. Moore versus Sudfeld.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not the argument. Right. The argument is there's one spot for C.J. Moore, Sudfeld, and receiver five. That's the crunch right now, John.
So,
right.
But where else are they making the changes? That it's just that simple one?
It looks pretty legit right now. You can make a case of the there's a guy they've got listed making the team. The Parker Hess, is that how you say it? The tight end,
yeah.
But a special teams value also, and also potential to go to fullback if they need to show that look.
Correct.
So. Special teams factors into this significantly. You're not putting Peoples Jones out there on special teams except to maybe receive a punt, but you really want that with his slowness? I mean, it looks like it's really coming down to Peoples Jones and Isaiah Williams, at least right now.
Right, and I'd keep Isaiah Williams.
If I was Brad Holmes, Dan Campbell, I would look at this. Now, I'm not seeing everything that goes on at practice, but to me, I do see everything that goes on in the game, and Isaiah Williams has been much more productive as a returner, as a receiver, and he's not the big body that Donovan Peoples-Jones is, but he runs crisp, clean routes. He runs them aggressively. He just looks like a guy that is desperate to make this team, and I don't see the same reaction out of DPJ, which you should.
Okay, so maybe you have a butting of heads here, because Brad Holmes gave up capital for Peoples Jones. Peoples Jones is the name. But Dan Campbell's out there every day coaching this team. And if one says, look, the bottom line is, how much do you consider production in the preseason? I mean, it's clear Williams was the better player on Saturday. They had roughly the same opportunities, right? Did the most with it.
Yeah, but I want to see both of those guys. I want to see them on the field at the same time, but I also want to see them with the same quarterback.
I don't think the fact that they gave up, what they gave up for people, a sixth or a seventh round pick, whatever it was.
Yeah. I don't think there's enough for them to say, we can't let him go.
And I don't think his name means squat to Dan Campbell or Brad Holmes, to be quite honest with you. He wasn't like the most popular Michigan player, if you want to go that way.
I'll put it this way. They thought Peoples Jones, I think the Peoples Jones move last year, coupled with Reynolds becoming a free agent and potentially leaving, that Peoples Jones was going to fill Reynolds' role, and he hasn't.
Correct. That's why I think John and I agree that between the two of them right now, it would be Williams. There's a name out there who played very well last year, who has not had a good camp. He has not looked good in preseason, and I'm not saying he won't make the team, but I've heard some people talk about that iffy is iffy to make the team.
Milifonwu?
Yeah, because they're pretty good at safety and defensive back. At least they hope they are.
I would be surprised.
I would too, but it wouldn't shock me, put it that way.
I wouldn't be shocked because they invested greatly in the secondary, mm-hmm. whether it's corner and then Brian Branch moving from nickel to safety. Mm-hmm. Like if you have better depth there, I mean, I could see it. It's not going to shock me. I would be mildly surprised. Mm-hmm. I don't know where that falls in the shot category or not.
Before we go to the text, let's hear from David in Detroit. What's going on?
How you doing?
Good.
Good morning.
Hey, I was just wanted to reply on the Isaiah Williams slot, trying to fight for the fifth receiver slot.
Yeah.
I think we just keep him on the punt team, punt and receiving team, and just give Sione Vaki the fifth receiving spot.
Well,
I think it only makes
Vaki's going to make the team as a running back.
Yeah.
So you don't have to use another position to, because even if you keep Isaiah Williams as a punt returner, he's still going to be on the roster as a wide receiver.
Right. And Vaki, he's good catching the ball out of the backfield. I don't think he's, running routes.
I still wanted to keep Craig Reynolds.
Right. They might be able to keep, if they keep four running backs.
I think they're
going
to keep four, and Craig Reynolds will be one of them. Now, the argument for using a running back as a wide receiver, quote-unquote, roster spot, that's where we've heard Jahmyr Gibbs lining up in the slot.
Mm-hmm.
They could be relying on him as wide receiver four or five.
All right, I got some text here. Raymond, still the third wide receiver, ? Yeah, probably.
Yeah, because he's going to be their number one returner.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're debating the third-string quarterback. First world problems, in my opinion. I'm not concerned with this unless Sudfeld is listed for some reason two on the depth chart for week one. At that point, it's a legit question for both Campbell and Holmes. Yes.
Correct. But that won't happen. And we're not concerned until that time either. Right. Knight Sudfeld is going to get some reps this weekend on Saturday.
In my opinion, the real answer for wide receiver is to go get one of the remaining free agents. Many of them are better, if not all, than our third option, and then that would push Raymond to four. Question, do you really think that Raymond is better than Michael Thomas as an example? Well, Michael Thomas has not done squat the last two or three years. He is known, rumor, as a cancer in the locker room. Those guys know him from New Orleans a little bit. I would be stunned if they would get him.
I would like them to kick the tires on, that's a free agent, is Hunter Renfrow.
Yeah.
As
it's another slot guy, though. And they have so many of them.
Right, but if you're looking for a fourth receiver, wide receiver four, that is going to be where he needs to be when he needs to be there, he was able to do that for the Raiders.
I agree. But if you're going to go get another receiver, I think you want to try to find a bigger, taller guy you use in the red zone a little bit. That's all. I heard something about James Houston not looking very good. Is he in any jeopardy of not making the 53-man roster? I don't think he's in jeopardy. But, you know, we'll
yeah, I don't know. There's that was floating around last year, too, after the dynamic rookie season that he had. Was it 7 sacks in 8 games?
Yeah.
And, you know,
I was surprised he didn't play on either. He needs some reps.
Well, if he's not playing, to me that means it's predetermined that he's made the roster.
Williams is real, talking about Isaiah Williams. I'm excited. The other thing about him, he's a pretty damn good blocker too. The only thing good about DPJ is his nickname. That guy sucks and needs to be cut.
Wow.
From unnamed texter. Why isn't DPJ playing the entire game? We need to see more of him. Well,
I think you'll see a lot of them on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. All right. 248-539-9797.
When it comes to an IRS collection or audit, you need a law firm that specializes in the resolution of all types of tax problems. And when dealing with the world's largest civil law enforcement agency, your case can take a lot of twists and turns. Your first call, your only call, should be to an experienced law firm like Abraham and Rose. They're prepared to advocate on your behalf, and you most certainly need someone on your side, no matter if it's civil or criminal or even the Michigan Department of Treasury. And they know exactly how those guys operate. Whether personal income tax or business payroll taxes, you're going to need a real team of local lawyers, not some tax organization with a random person that you're never going to meet. Visit abrahamandrose.com today or call 248-539-5040 so you never personally have to deal with the IRS.
Tigers win it 3-2 in 10 innings. They beat the Yankees in the series over the weekend, 2-1. They've won 6 out of their last 7. Next 10 games, 3. They're spending a week in Chicago. 3 with the cut? That's very rare. 3 at Wrigley and then 4 at the White Sox before coming home with 3 with the Angels. That's 10 games against teams where bare minimum, they should go 6-4. Now, granted, their pitching rotation is, you know, Scooble, Montero, and the group effort. I mean, all three designated pitching assignments for the Cubs series is TBA, really.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. Speaking of pitchers, and it was really cool yesterday, the Little League Classic that they got to play in Williamsport. But they had like superlatives of each players. They talked about their favorite, you know, team growing up, their favorite food, their favorite this, favorite TV show, yada yada, person they'd like to meet. Bo Brisky of the Tigers was asked the question about who he'd like to meet, and he gave an answer that probably was, as you will hear, he realized he probably shouldn't have said it the way he said it.
Love the sense of humor. It's a very dark sense of humor.
I love the fact that he realized that, yeah. Wow, that's not really the smartest way to say
that. Now that I said that out loud.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, mm-hmm. Lord.
Risky.
Yes. Now, Scooble did not get the win.
No.
But he did pitch well, you know, six innings. Yet a lot again. Of pitches because he walked four guys, which is very rare. He gave up one run, struck out, like I said, five. So he still is the American League Triple Crown leader. He has most wins at 14. There are a couple guys who have 13, Lugo and Valdez. He leads in ERA, 2.49. The closest one of the guys who is, I see, qualified starters would be Blanco of the Astros at 2.89. And in strikeouts, he is 185, which leads Cole Reagans of Kansas City, who has 174. So he's got a chance. However,
should have been the starter.
Or the All-Star game.
Yes.
He should have. However, he might not get the Triple Crown because A.J. Hinch has kind of said that yesterday and maybe or the next game is going to be the last games they're going to keep him on regular rest, which means instead of every 5 days, he may be pitching every 7 days to keep his innings down because that's, you know, he's got 155 innings. 200, it seems to be, you know.
The max that you want to do in 1 year?
Well, you better do more. If he's only doing, so let's do the math, that's 45 more innings. If he pitches six innings a start.
Seven and a half starts.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that, but I know you want to deal with the future, but I'd like to see him, you know, get some awards here, right? Hopefully
Sure.
It wouldn't cost him the Cy Young.
Well, you hope it wouldn't cost him the Cy Young. It may cost the quote-unquote Triple Crown of pitching.
Right.
Which but ultimately, he doesn't have it wrapped up, but he's got to be, right now, number one on almost everybody's ballot, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I don't think, even if it's...
Aaron Judge said he's the best player pitcher in baseball right now.
Right. So if it's every six games, every seven games, I don't think that's going to deter any voters from what he may do.
Right. All right, it's time for news, and here's Heather.
Joe Muir, who was iconic within Metro Detroit's restaurant scene, has died. He was 88 years old. Muir, of course, was known for Joe Muir Seafood, which was started by his grandfather back in 1929. He closed the restaurant in 1998, but it was reopened in 2011 in the Rensen after he sold the restaurant to his friend Joe Vicari. Now there are other locations as well in Bluefield Hills. Also in Nashville, there's a Joe Muir Seafood as well. According to his obituary, he passed in his sleep on Sunday.
That's the way to go.
Yeah.
That is the way everybody hopes to go, right?
Yeah. Peacefully. 88's a good run, too.
88 is a good run. Human remains were discovered on the Michigan property belonging to a man whose wife disappeared more than 3 years ago and is presumed dead. Dee Warner's family reported her missing in April of 2021, and her husband, Dale Warner, was charged in November with open murder and tampering with evidence in her disappearance. He has pleaded not guilty, and his property in Lenawee County was just searched, and that's when the remains were found. Investigators are saying, hey, there's still a whole lot of work that needs to be done, testing that needs to be done before we can identify the remains. But of course, when you hear the story and the background, it most likely is that of his wife. So I guess, definitely. But hopefully all of this can lead to some closure for her family and then they can button all of this aspect up.
Yeah.
A tropical smoothie cafe here in Southfield is the center of controversy after a young girl found shards of glass or maybe shards of like hard plastic material in her drink. And what's so crazy is that this isn't the first time this has happened at this particular location. So last week, an 11-year-old girl and her grandma went and got smoothies, and the girl was drinking her smoothie when her tongue was cut with a piece of this plastic, and they dumped it out and they found a lot of whatever this is in her smoothie. Thankfully, she's going to be okay, right? They did go to the doctor, make sure everything's okay. She is. Well, this happened recently as well to a grandma and her 3-year-old grandson who went to this location. And it happened to the little boy. It sounds like they're not releasing any statements because there is a lawsuit underway.
Here's the key for grandmas. Ice cream.
Yeah, maybe
not smoothies. Let's just go straight ice cream. Come on, grandma.
Not only, you know, will you avoid this, but your grandchildren will be very happy. Yes. All of Michigan's 1.4 million public school children will receive or have access to free school meals again this year, which is pretty cool. So funding for the Michigan School Meals Program was secured through a $200 million appropriation in the 2025 school aid budget that was signed by the governor last month. This program provides one breakfast and one lunch to each public school student at no cost. This is the second year that this is going through. Last year, the program provided more than 76.3 million breakfasts and 135.6 million lunches. And the state superintendent is saying, hey, we are so excited to have this program back. Not only does it foster successful student learning, but they says, you know, it can improve the health, safety, and wellness of all the learners. And they're making changes in different requirements to school lunches and breakfast.
In terms of healthy options.
How much sugar is included in each option, sodium, things like that. So they are becoming more and more healthy as well. One more quickly. Men are waiting a lot longer to have children or start families. Mm-hmm. Some men are waiting until their 50s before they have children. And, you know, men do have that luxury of waiting, than women, right?
Yes, our bullets still work.
They do. And despite the fact that you can wait, researchers are saying there is some new concern about the child's health and their future when men are waiting longer and longer to have children. So basically, they're saying that with fathers age 50 and above, they're seeing that babies are either born at a premature date, or that they have low birth weight, or both.
I wonder how much that has to do with the actual, you know, swimmers.
I don't know.
Versus the other half
and
involved
it's not,
in the
well,
in the
exactly.
process.
I don't know how old the women are that are having the children.
I mean, Bill Belichick still may be in the game.
And it also found that that the oldest fathers, those who are 70 and above.
Onto the egg.
We're less likely to have boys.
Less likely?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's 70 and up, though. That's
what you get for waiting.
Hey!
That's good.
What are you talking about?
Three daughters, yes. Two over there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Girl, Dad! All right. Our telephone number, 248-539-9797.
When it comes to managing your finances, you need a bank that gets you and is genuinely interested in your success. That's why I bank with First Merchants Bank. Whether it's your business banking or day-to-day personal banking, you want all those T's crossed and all the I's dotted. First Merchants Bank is the company that will do it. It's 100% interested in helping you prosper. First Merchants Bankers are attentive. They take the time to get to know you and work with you to build a financial plan that fits your unique situation. Everyone's different, and they're prepared for that. When you make the switch to First Merchants Bank, you're also going to get access to their highly rated mobile banking app with innovative personal finance tools. Plus, they're deeply connected to the community's needs because it's their community as well, and they volunteer and donate to local causes on a regular basis to ensure that we all prosper together. This is the difference of 100% interest in you. For a better banking experience, visit firstmerchants.com. That's firstmerchants.com. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
And the Lions win on Saturday, 24-23. They are in action Saturday against the Pittsburgh Steelers at Ford Field. By the way, there's this pretty cool thing that we and the Lions are doing on Saturday that we want to alert you to. Jim Acosta, who is obviously off today, will host an alternate Lions telecast Saturday during the game beginning at noon. It's kind of going to be like the Manning cast, so to speak. You can watch it on
just with more hair.
www.detroitlions.com. There's two ways to view the game. You go on the website, click Watch Live, or you can register and have the ability to submit questions and interact with the show and the guests. Costa, like I said, will be the monitor. First quarter, will be John Jansen as the special guest.
Yes.
Second quarter will be Mike and Rico. Third quarter will be Doug and Gator. Mm-hmm. And the fourth quarter will be Jennifer Hammond and yours truly.
Oh, really?
From Parts Unknown.
Oh. Parts Unknown?
Well, I'll be on the Jersey Shore, so I was thinking of trying to do it with the phone with the Atlantic Ocean in the background, but I don't think that's going to work, so I'm going to go to my friend's place and just
watch. Yeah, see
watch.
If you can get an internet connection.
But there will be... Oh, he'll have an internet connection, but yes, there will be some other special guests during the broadcast, including Sam Richardson, the Detroit native and the comedian.
Yeah.
Former Lions Stephen Tulloch and Rodney Peete, among others.
Oh, Rodney Peete, former teammate of mine.
Yeah.
At the Washington Club.
Yes. By the way, one of your other former teammates, I believe I saw on television the other day. Or during
You're not talking about the one that was just in the news last night and this morning?
No.
I'll get to that one later.
Oh, okay. No. Yes. I was talking about a former teammate. I think he was a teammate of yours in Washington. So I'm on Hard Knocks. The running backs coach of the Chicago Bears, Chad Morton. Was he with the Redskins when you were there?
Yes.
Johnny Morton's brother.
Yes. Chad was tasked with was given the task of blocking Michael Strahan while I reported as eligible. Wide open in the end zone, but he couldn't hold him off. Quarterback was sacked.
Oh, there's a grudge there.
My opportunity for my what would have been an epic, and I'm talking epic touchdown dance, was wasted.
Hmm.
Wasted. Never to be seen.
So what was it going to be?
Well, it's not. I mean,
well,
I was younger. I was much more flexible.
I understand.
My rhythm was a little better. Footwork was little better.
I understand you probably will not demonstrate it to the people watching on Twitch or YouTube or myself and Heather in person. But can you give us some sort of hint? Was it, I don't know. What kind of dance was it? Was it like the hustle?
It wouldn't have been the hustle. Although I'm really good at the hustle.
I'm sure you are.
Yes, it's one of my go-tos on every wedding.
I know if I had to do it, it wouldn't be the waltz either.
The waltz. How about the salsa?
Salsa's kind
of. You could do a little salsa?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I'd say touchdown dance. It's a little bit of a liberal use of the term. Mm-hmm. There would have been some rolling, some spiking, and then some throwing.
Some rolling?
Yes, yes.
You would roll on the ground.
I had a few things worked out with, and this is before the whole sub. We probably would have gotten a penalty.
Oh, okay.
Because it was the no fun league at that time.
Yes,
it's changed a little bit.
Yes. Yesterday before the Tigers broadcast. Speaking of broadcast, ESPN showed their E60 show on 28 outs on the Armando Galarraga. Should have been perfect game. I know you guys had the. The reporter from ESPN,
yes.
I believe, was on earlier this week. And I watched it a little bit, and it's kind of interesting, obviously. The way the premise is, there's a college in
Monmouth.
New Jersey, Monmouth, that in their law school decided to find a case that they would like to actually adjudicate, or a decision was wrong. And they, for some reason, they picked that one. And they gave all these reasons for precedent to George Brett Pintar and the fact that replay is allowed now and it wasn't back then. And there's a guy named Harvey Haddix who pitched in the late 50s and the 60s who had a no-hitter. They called it a no-hitter because he had a no-hitter through 9 innings and he lost the no-hitter or the perfect game, I forget which, in the 12th inning. So a few years later, they decided to take away the no-hitter because he didn't finish the game, if my memory is correct. Or he might have finished the game, but the fact that it wasn't a no-hitter anymore after 9 innings. Anyway, that was part of their legal stuff. And Rob Manfred said no. He said, as a fan, he wished he could, but he thought it would open up a Pandora's box if they went and did it. And I kind of agree. You can't go back and do that. Although, as Jim Joyce says in the documentary, it would be the easiest thing in the world. Everybody knows, basically, I blew the call. You just put his name on a list. That's all you have to do. The game, we know who won the game. The decision of the game meant nothing. That's not overturned.
Nope.
Yes. So here's...
I'm not surprised at all that they're not going through this now. I mean, this is one that maybe in 30 years when everybody has passed on from this, that they go back retroactively and say, now we're willing to do this, but
no.
I don't think they'll do it now.
If you're going to do it, you do it when Colorado's still alive.
Well, maybe not him, but I do think John... Bud Selig.
Yeah.
I one of my takeaways was that Rob Manfred was kind of respecting Bud Selig's decision. Yeah. Bud Selig's 90 years old, and I don't know. I think it's done and settled with.
20 or 30 years, yeah. But...
I mean, yeah. The Pandora's Box thing is an interesting take, but all because then you go into... I know there's a Johan Santana no-hitter that... Mm-hmm. Was beneficial of a error versus hit call or something that okay, then what about this? It goes to whataboutism. The
right.
difference with this mine is why they should have, but I don't have my panties in a bunch anymore.
No, right.
Seriously, it's the 27th out.
Right.
And everybody says he was out.
It was, yes. There's no question.
There's no debate.
So there was no other next play.
Right.
That's the debate. That's the reason why people think this should happen.
Yes. Are you sick of the discussion, though? Should this end at this documentary? And if so, what else are you kind of sick of hearing about? Like, I almost feel like Evan in a second here. I'm sick of hearing about the 84 World Series. It's been 40 freaking years.
Well, they got
already.
A celebration coming up very soon.
I know. So
okay,
after this.
Well, what about 50?
Well, every 10 years, you have a reunion like 40
right.
years, 50 years, and you may have it 40, 45 because when you get that far along, you start losing guys and you want to be able to see them. And they can do that on their own. I get that.
Right.
But the fans want to be able to still see some of those guys.
Right. It's like anytime a guy goes or flirts with like arguing in the stands and all that, better make sure there's no malice at the palace. It was an historic, I'm done with it. You know, I don't need to hear about it anymore.
Sure. I mean, this is one that...
I don't need to hear about it. I don't need to hear from fans who don't like Michigan. Oh, it was only a shared national championship. I don't need to hear that anymore.
Tell me about it.
Okay. Okay. So, right? It's over and done with. What else is out there that you're just, you know what, I don't want to need to hear about it anymore.
I'll give you one, and we were going to do this a little bit later, but the whole Tyreek Hill versus Noah Lyles. The whole I'm faster than you, if I raced you, if Tyreek Hill was that fast, and in that situation, he would be racing in the Olympics. He's not. And when you're talking about that level of expertise. You're talking about a very, very minuscule percentage of individuals, whether it's Tyreek Hill on the football field or it's Noah Lyles on the track. What they do is so specific. And if Tyreek Hill were to simply train as a sprinter, say I'm giving up football because I want to be the fastest man in the world, then give up football. And go, hey, work on coming out of the blocks. Work on, it's not a snap count. It's you're coming off the blocks with everybody else. There's technique involved there. There's technique in the race. There's technique, obviously, in the finish. That's how Noah Lyles won it, by a nose. I just think that this is, I get annoyed every time this comes up. And it seems like it's a different professional athlete that wants to challenge, whether it's Usain Bolt, or it's now Noah Lyles. I mean, insert anybody that is, quote unquote, the fastest man in the world in the 100 or the 200 at the Olympics. There's always somebody that says, I could beat him.
All right, 248-539-9797. A couple things there. It is open line. Number one, the Galarraga documentary that they showed last night. What else are you sick of hearing about? Because that's like, this should be, this puts it to bed in my mind. And as John brought up, Lyles or Hill? Do you even think it would be close? 97 won the ticket.
Hey, everybody knows, everybody I see, everybody, I've talked about this for going on 2.5 years. I've lost about 60 pounds. I've been able to keep it off. And I always get the question, because I've gone with Ideal You, why did I choose Ideal You? Why did I choose at that time to lose some weight? Well, I was fat. I was not healthy. I didn't feel good about how I looked. I didn't feel good when I got out of bed in the morning and I had to put on my fat clothes. That's what motivated me. It was also my kids. When they sent me a picture and I didn't even recognize the silhouette of myself, I thought this time to change and make that change. About 2 years ago, I've lost 60 pounds. I've been able to keep it off with Ideal You. And if you want to change your life, go to idealyou.us right now. The process is simple. They've got it all laid out. 40 days, you stick with the program. You could be 20, 30, or even 40 pounds lighter in just 40 days. They check in with you. You have a coach that will help you and encourage you and let you know the ups and downs. Not an easy process, as we all know, losing weight, but they make it as easy as possible, and they're to support you not only during those 40 days, but they're support you after that because they want you to continue to keep that weight off and live a healthy lifestyle. Ideal You has helped thousands of people, and they can help you as well. If you want to weigh less, go to idealyou.us.
We got some texts. The Galarraga documentary last night before the Tigers game. Well, not right before, but a few hours before.
Yeah.
And it's just, all right, enough. Let's put it to bed. Don't need to hear about it again, basically. I mean,
we'll hear about the anniversary.
Yes.
We'll hear about some of
that. What else are you sick of? 2485, hearing about. You know, I understand anniversaries because I'll bring up every once in a while, you know, a certain. On this day, this play happened or whatever. That's and the Lions win on Saturday, 24-23. They are in action Saturday against the Pittsburgh Steelers at Ford Field. By the way, there's this pretty cool thing that we and the Lions are doing on Saturday that we want to alert you to. Jim Acosta, who is obviously off today, will host an alternate Lions telecast Saturday during the game beginning at noon. It's kind of going to be like the Manning cast, yes, so to speak. You can watch it on
just with more hair.
www.detroitlions.com. There's two ways to view the game. You go on the website, click Watch Live, or you can register and have the ability to submit questions and interact with the show and the guests. Costa, like I said, will be the monitor. First quarter will be John Jansen as the special guest.
Yes.
Second quarter will be Mike and Rico. Third quarter will be Doug and Gator. Mm-hmm. And the fourth quarter will be Jennifer Hammond and yours truly.
Oh, really?
From Parts Unknown.
Oh. Parts Unknown?
Well, I'll be on the Jersey Shore, so I was thinking of trying to do it with the phone with the Atlantic Ocean in the background, but I don't think that's going to work, so I'm going to go to my friend's place and just
watch. Yeah, see
watch.
If you can get an internet connection.
But there will be, he'll have an internet connection, but yes, there will be some other special guests during the broadcast, including Sam Richardson, the Detroit native and the comedian.
Yeah.
Former Lions Stephen Tulloch. And Rodney Pete, among others.
Oh, Rodney Pete, former teammate of mine.
Yeah.
At the Washington Club.
Yes. By the way, one of your other former teammates, I believe I saw on television the other day. Or during
You're not talking about the one that was just in the news last night and this morning?
No.
I'll get to that one later.
Oh, okay. No. Yes. I was talking about a former teammate. I think he was a teammate of yours in Washington. So I'm on Hard Knocks. The running backs coach of the Chicago Bears, Chad Morton. Was he with the Redskins when you were there?
Yes.
Johnny Morton's brother.
Yes. Chad was tasked with was given the task of blocking Michael Strahan while I reported as eligible, wide open in the end zone, but he couldn't hold him off. Quarterback was sacked.
Oh, there's a grudge there.
My opportunity for what would have been an epic, and I'm talking epic touchdown dance, was wasted.
Hmm.
Wasted. Never to be seen.
So what was it going to be?
Well, it's It's just not gonna, I mean, I was younger. I was much more flexible.
I understand. Well,
my rhythm was a little better. Footwork was a little better.
I understand you probably will not demonstrate it to the people watching on Twitch or YouTube or myself and Heather in person, but can you give us some sort of hint? Was it, I don't know. What kind of dance was it? Was it like the hustle?
It wouldn't have been the hustle. Although I'm really good at the hustle.
I'm sure you are.
Yes, it's one of my go-tos on every wedding.
I know if I had to do it, it wouldn't be the waltz either.
The waltz. How about the salsa?
Salsa's kind of
You could do a little salsa?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I'd say touchdown dance. It's a little bit of a liberal use of the term. Mm-hmm. There would have been some rolling, some spiking, and then some throwing.
Some rolling?
Yes, yes.
You would roll on the ground?
I had a few things worked out with, and this is before the whole sub. We probably would have gotten a penalty.
Oh, okay.
Because it was the no fun league at that time.
Yes.
It's changed a little bit.
Yes. Yesterday, before the Tigers broadcast, speaking of broadcast, ESPN showed their E60 show on 28 outs on the Armando Galarraga. Should have been perfect game. I know you guys had the reporter from ESPN,
yes.
I believe, was on earlier this week. And I watched it a little bit, and it's kind of interesting, obviously. The way the premise is, there is a college in
Monmouth.
New Jersey, Monmouth, that in their law school decided to find a case that they would like to actually adjudicate,
mm-hmm.
and where a decision was wrong. And they, for some reason, they picked that one. And they gave all these reasons for precedent to George Brett Pinetar and the fact that replay is allowed now and it wasn't back then. And there's a guy named Harvey Haddix who pitched in the late 50s and the 60s who had a no-hitter. They called it a no-hitter because he had a no-hitter through 9 innings and he lost the no-hitter or the perfect game, I forget which, in the 12th inning. So a few years later, they decided to take away the no-hitter because he didn't finish the game, if my memory's correct. Or he might have finished the game, but the fact that it wasn't a no-hitter anymore after 9 innings. Anyway, that was part of their legal stuff. And Rob Manfred said no. He said, as a fan, he wished he could, but he thought it would open up a Pandora's box if they went and did it. And I kind of agree. You can't go back and do that. Although, as Jim Joyce says in the documentary, it would be the easiest thing in the world. Everybody knows, basically, I blew the call. You just put his name on a list. That's all you have to do. The game, we know who won the game. The decision of the game meant nothing. That's not overturned.
Nope.
Yes. So here's...
I'm not surprised at all that they're not going through this now. I mean, this is one that maybe in 30 years when everybody has passed on from this, that they go back retroactively and say, now we're willing to do this, but
no.
I don't think they'll do it now.
If you're going to do it, you do it when Colorado's still alive.
Well, Bud Selig.
Yeah.
One of my takeaways was that Rob Manfred was kind of respecting Bud Selig's decision.
Yeah.
Bud Selig's 90 years old, and I don't know. I think it'll take
20 or 30 years. Yeah. But
I mean, the Pandora's box thing is an interesting take, but because then you go into, I know there's a Johan Santana no-hitter that was beneficial of a error versus hit call or something okay, then what about this? It goes to whataboutism. The
right.
difference with this mine is why they should have, but I don't have my panties in a bunch anymore.
No, right.
Seriously, it's the 27th out.
Right.
And everybody says he was out.
It was, yeah. There's no question.
There's no debate.
So there was no other next play.
Right.
That's the debate. That's the reason why people think this should happen.
Yes. Are you sick of the discussion, though? Should this end at this documentary? And if so, what else are you kind of sick of hearing about? I almost feel like Evan in a second here. I'm sick of hearing about the 84 World Series. It's been 40 freaking years.
Well, they got
already.
A celebration coming up very soon.
I know,
they?
I know. So,
okay,
so then, after this.
Well, what about 50?
Well, every 10 years, you have a reunion 40 years, 50 years. And you may have it 40, 45, because when you get that far along, you start losing guys, and you want to be able to see them. And they can do that on their own. I get that.
Right.
But the fans want to be able to still see some of those guys.
Right. It's like anytime a guy goes or flirts with, like, arguing in the stands and all that, oh, better make sure there's no malice at the palace. You know, it was a historic, I'm done with it. You know, I don't need to hear about it anymore.
Sure. I mean, this is one that...
I don't need to hear about your. I don't need to hear from fans who don't like Michigan. Oh, it was only a shared national championship. I don't need to hear that anymore.
Tell me about it.
Okay. Okay. So, right? It's over and done with. What else is out there that you're just, you know what? I don't want to need to hear about it anymore.
Oh, I'll give you one. And we were going to do this a little bit later, but the whole Tyreek Hill versus Noah Lyles. The whole I'm faster than you, if I raced you, if Tyreek Hill was that fast, and in that situation, he would be racing in the Olympics. He's not. And when you're talking about that level of expertise, you're talking about a very, very minuscule percentage of individuals, whether it's Tyreek Hill on the football field or it's Noah Lyles on the track. What they do is so specific. And if Tyreek Hill were to simply train as a sprinter, say I'm giving up football because I want to be the fastest man in the world, then give up football and go, hey, work on coming out of the blocks. Work on, it's not a snap count. It's you're coming off the blocks with everybody else. There's technique involved there. There's technique in the race. There's technique, obviously, in the finish. That's how Noah Lyles won it, by a nose. I just think that this is, I get annoyed every time this comes up. And it seems like it's a different professional athlete that wants to challenge, whether it's Usain Bolt or it's now Noah Lyles. I mean, insert anybody that is, quote unquote, the fastest man in the world in the 100 or the 200 at the Olympics. There's always somebody that says, I could beat him.
All right, 248-539-9797. A couple of things there. It is open line. Number one, the Galarraga documentary that they showed last night. What else are you sick of hearing about? Because that's like, this should be, this puts it to bed in my mind. And as John brought up, Lyles or Hill? Do you even think it would be close? 97 won the ticket.
Hey, everybody knows, everybody I see, everybody, I've talked about this for going on 2.5 years. I've lost about 60 pounds. I've been able to keep it off. And I always get the question, because I've gone with Ideal You, why did I choose Ideal You? Why did I choose at that time to lose some weight? Well, I was fat. I was not healthy. I didn't feel good about how I looked. I didn't feel good when I got out of bed in the morning and I had to put on my fat clothes. That's what motivated me. It was also my kids. When they sent me a picture and I didn't even recognize the silhouette of myself, I thought this time to change and make that change. About 2 years ago, I've lost 60 pounds. I've been able to keep it off with Ideal You. And if you want to change your life, go to idealyou.us right now. The process is simple. They've got it all laid out. 40 days, you stick with the program. You could be 20, 30, or even 40 pounds lighter in just 40 days. They check in with you. You have a coach that will help you and encourage you and let you know the ups and downs. Not an easy process, as we all know, losing weight, but they make it as easy as possible, and they're to support you, not only during those 40 days, but they're support you after that because they want you to continue to keep that weight off and live a healthy lifestyle. Ideal You has helped thousands of people, and they can help you as well. If you want to weigh less, go to idealyou.us.
We got some texts. The Galarraga documentary last night before the Tigers game. Well, not right before, but a few hours before.
Yeah.
And it's just, all right, enough. Let's put it to bed. Don't need to hear about it again, basically. I mean,
we'll hear about the anniversary.
Yes.
We'll hear about some of
that. What else are you sick of? 2485, hearing about. You know, I understand anniversaries because I'll bring up every once in a while, you know, a certain. On this day, this play happened or whatever. That's different. But, you know, Sometimes they bring up stuff again and it just they go on and on. All right, we know. We get it.
Well, when you do it, it's more of for like a historical perspective.
Right.
This one is just, it's keeps getting beat to death.
I know. Let's go to Joe in Gros Eel. What's up, Joe?
Hi, guys. First on Galarraga and then what I'm sick of now.
Okay.
You wouldn't hear about Galarraga anymore if they did what's right and just give them the perfect game. It wasn't the subjectivity of a official scores decision, hit or an error. He was out. It was a 27th out. They should have made it a perfect game the day after when they gave him the Corvette and Jim Joyce was crying at home plate. Secondly, I'm tired about the Connor Stallion story. That's over. They changed the rules where you can talk into a player's headset now or into his helmet from the sidelines. There's no more sign stealing. That's all gone. Let's be done with that issue already.
Well,
this guy gets reported that he's a assistant coach now. Come on.
Well, a few things. First of all, there will still be sign stealing. That's always been legal. You just can't go and send people to other venues.
That's, now it's going to be lip readers, right? And that's why you see all the coaches always covering up their mouth.
Correct.
Because in the NFL, they have the headset for the, you know, the green dot on defense, and yeah, offensively, it's the quarterback.
And the Stallions thing won't die until the NCAA rules.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way it's going to be.
And the Netflix comes out.
Yes, which is going to be pretty interesting.
Another couple of weeks. Hey, yeah. Did you know that last Saturday was the last Saturday without college football until... I mean, for the foreseeable future.
Yes, I know. I mean, we have week zeros.
We are ready to roll.
I hate week zero.
Oh, come on. You hate week zero?
It should be week one. It's the first week of the season for certain people.
Just because it's labeled week
one?
Yes. Oh,
okay. Yeah. I don't hate the fact that they're playing college football.
That's how it sounded.
I'm like a moron. I just say, week zero. Yeah. Really? There's like eight games and it's week zero?
There's like four games.
Whatever. All right.
It's half of what you said.
Okay, that's true. Is Stoney not going to mention his cameo in the documentary? Yeah, that was kind of...
He's been singing that one all morning long.
I only sang it once, really, with you.
I didn't notice Stoney's cameo, but I did notice Jeff Rieger's cameo because at one point they showed footage of Galarraga finally walking off the field and they were going to do the Tiger player interview. And
right.
So he's waiting for him. And there's a quick glance and how much hair Jeff Rieger had.
Oh, really?
It was unbelievable.
Full, bushy head of hair?
It looked like it, yeah.
Yeah, they were showing like reaction to it. And for some reason, and I think it must have been on Channel 7 because I was on a set.
Yeah.
And it took like 2 seconds and... Oh, whoa, that's me. I had no
idea.
Wait,
rewind, pause.
Well, I did show it to Cindy. I wasn't recording it. I said,
I'm a TV star.
Cindy, check this out.
Hey, babe.
Pause was not in it, by the way.
No, Pause was the star in Williamsport, yes, though, because the Yankees don't have a mascot. Yeah. Kids love their Pause.
We
right.
can't have a mascot. We're too prestigious.
That's right. Yes.
Too much hair.
Stoney, don't you think he has gotten more attention because of the non-no-hitter blown call than he ever would if he got a perfect game? Absolutely.
Yeah, way more talked about.
Is it going to be worth watching the E60 just to see me and Rieger? No, it's worth it. Galarraga, you know, there's a times where one time he got emotional about it, and then Jim Joyce and his family, they talk about that. Yeah. That's interesting.
But this puts it to bed for you?
Oh, yeah. I saw the E60 last night. I thought it was good. It's just another example where Detroit got screwed. Of course, it's always Detroit versus everybody. Remember at the time, Lions were always finding unique rules to break to lose games. This is one where we earned it and still had it taken away. That's where Detroit versus everybody had its genesis. The time to overturn it was the next day. That's from Brad in Atlanta. 85 Bears, give me a break. If we have to continue to talk about them, we have to continue to talk about the 84 Tigers. I'm so sick and tired of hearing about the Super Bowl shuffle and that team who won the 84 Super Bowl or the 86 Super Bowl. Nobody knows, nobody cares. Tim in a car.
In the fridge. Sweetness.
Yeah. Stoney, I'm sick of hearing the Lions need a backup quarterback when Hooker's done nothing but show why he's earned the backup spot. Hey, did you guys know that Stafford and Kershaw played the league?
There's one.
It was pretty funny. I saw Stafford's interview with Pardon My Take last week.
Yeah.
the video, and they were kidding him around about it. He goes, oh, really? You hear that before? You know, it was pretty funny. Stafford actually came off really good in that interview. When it comes to, we were talking about Noah Lyles, you know, Tyreek Hill says he could beat him. When it comes to the 100-meter dash, I think Lyles would blow away any NFL player. He was running just over 27 miles per hour after 60 meters in the Olympics.
Yeah, I agree.
But
on the flip side, if you put Noah Lyles in pads...
Well, that was going to be my question.
Yeah.
Like, on a track, and they both were in pads, what do you think would happen?
That's weird.
I know.
I don't... That's. I'm talking about you put them in pads on a football field and you try and... We always... I mean, the Raiders did this draft in and draft out for a long time. They would draft some guy that was a former track guy who's the fastest guy on the field and then try and teach him to play football.
Oh, I know.
You can't do it.
The only one who I remember who... He wasn't great. He was okay. Was when the 49ers had Ronaldo Nehemiah... was the hurdler from the University of Maryland. He, you know, Olympic hurdler, and he played in the NFL for a little bit. I remember the Eagles when I was a kid. They had John Carlos, who was one of the guys who did the Black Power thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, he was terrible. He run by everybody, but there was a thing called actually catching the football that he couldn't perfect.
What was his name?
John Carlos.
Oh, wonderful. See him in Vegas. Costa and I are going to be in Vegas on Thursday.
That's right. Maybe Vince will be there.
Yeah. Papale.
Noah Lyles is the fastest man in the world. Speaks for itself. Tyreek would get a major taste of reality if he was dumb enough to race him.
Yeah.
I'm sick of people blaming Campbell being aggressive as the reason we lost the NFC title, when factually him being aggressive is the reason we beat the Rams to begin with. I'm sick of hearing Saquon's Barkley name, that guys like Reggie Bush still living off his name in college. Hasn't been special in the NFL, and we all talk like he is. Saquon had a couple of really good years for the Giants,
rookie year was good. He's been banged up. He's also been behind a terrible offensive line.
Yeah.
We got a fresh one in on Ticket Text, mm-hmm. and I think this is pretty solid. Are you tired of hearing about Amon-Ra St. Brown's list?
Yes.
No. If that drives him to another all-pro season, if it drives this team to a Super Bowl championship, ultimately it drives him to the Hall of Fame, count that list. Every freaking day.
What about Gator's list? Well, I'm not sick of that, and I never will be.
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
His disdain for kids.
Amon-Ra St. Brown can do the list every day and catch 200 balls off the Jugs game.
202.
We don't have to know about it, though, all the time. That's all. I understand
that.
You
just don't want to see how the sausage is made, do you?
I've seen it. I don't
need to know the butcher.
I don't need to see it again. I've seen it.
Okay.
Here's Chris Villar. We got some texts. The Galarraga documentary last night before the Tigers game. Well, not right before, but a few hours before.
Yep.
And it's just, all right, enough. Let's put it to bed. Don't need to hear about it again, basically. I mean,
we'll hear about it at the anniversary.
Yes.
We'll hear about some of
that. What else are you sick of? 2485, hearing about. You know, I understand anniversaries because I'll bring up every once in a while, you know, a certain... On this day, this play happened or whatever. That's different. But, you know, sometimes they bring up stuff again and it just they go on and on. All right, we know.
Well, when you do it, it's more of for like a historical perspective.
Right.
This one is just, it's keeps getting beat to death.
I know. Let's go to Joe in Gross Eel. What's up, Joe?
Hi, guys. First on Galarraga and then what I'm sick of now.
Okay.
You wouldn't hear about Galarraga anymore if they did what's right and just give them the perfect game. It wasn't the subjectivity of a official scores decision, hit or an error. He was out. It was a 27th out. They should have made it a perfect game the day after when they gave him the Corvette and Jim Joyce was crying at home plate. Secondly, I'm tired about the Connor Stallion story. That's over. They changed the rules where you can talk into a player's headset now or into his helmet from the sidelines. There's no more sign stealing. That's all gone. Let's be done with that issue already.
Well,
it's reported that he's a assistant coach now. Come on.
Well, a few things. First of all, there will still be sign stealing. That's always been legal. You just can't go and send people to other venues.
Now it's going to be lip readers, right? And that's why you see all the coaches always covering up their mouth. Because in the NFL, they have the headset for the, you know, the green dot on defense, and offensively, it's the quarterback.
And the Stallions thing won't die until the NCAA rules.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way it's going to be.
And the Netflix comes out.
Yes, which is going to be pretty interesting.
Another couple of weeks. Hey, did you know that last Saturday was the last Saturday without college football until... I mean, for the foreseeable future.
Yes, I know. I mean, we have week zeros.
We are ready to roll.
I hate week zero.
Oh, come on. You hate week zero?
It should be week one. It's the first week of the season for certain people.
Oh, just because it's labeled week one?
Yes.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, I don't hate the fact that they're playing college football.
That's how it sounded.
I'm like a moron. I just hate, week zero. Yeah. Really? There's like eight games and it's week zero?
There's like four games.
Whatever. All right.
It's half of what you said.
Okay, that's true. Is Stoney not going to mention his cameo in the documentary? Yeah, that was kind of...
He's been singing that one all morning long.
I only sang it once, really, with you.
I didn't notice Stoney's cameo, but I did notice Jeff Rieger's cameo, because at one point they showed footage of Galarraga finally walking off the field and they were going to do the Tiger player interview. And
right.
So he's waiting for him. And there's a quick glance and how much hair Jeff Rieger had.
Oh, really?
It was unbelievable.
Full bushy head of hair?
It looked like it, yeah.
Yeah, they were showing like reaction to it. And for some reason, and I think it must have been on Channel 7 because I was on a set.
Yeah.
And it took like 2 seconds and also, whoa, that's me. I had no idea.
Wait, rewind, pause.
Well, I did show it to Cindy. I wasn't recording it. I said,
I'm a TV star.
Check this out.
Hey, babe.
Paws was not in it, by the way.
No, Paws was the star in Williamsport, though, because the Yankees don't have a mascot. Yep. Kids love their Paws.
We can't have a mascot. We're too prestigious.
That's right.
Yes. Too much hair.
Stoney, don't you think he has gotten more attention because of the no-hitter blown call than he ever would if he got a perfect game? Absolutely.
Yeah, way more talked about.
Is it going to be worth watching the E60 just to see me and Rieger? No, it's worth it. Galarraga, there's a times where one time he got emotional about it, and Jim Joyce and his family, they talk about that. Yeah. That's interesting.
But this puts it to bed for you?
Oh, yeah. I saw the E60 last night, and I thought it was good. It's just another example where Detroit got screwed. Of course, it's always Detroit versus everybody. Remember at the time, Lions were always finding unique rules to break to lose games. This is one where we earned it and still had it taken away. That's where Detroit versus everybody had its genesis. The time to overturn it was the next day. That's from Brad in Atlanta. 85 Bears, give me a break. If we have to continue to talk about them, we have to continue to talk about the 84 Tigers. I'm so sick and tired of hearing about the Super Bowl shuffle and that team who won the 84 Super Bowl or the 86 Super Bowl. Nobody knows, nobody cares. Tim in a car.
In the fridge. Sweetness.
Yeah. Stoney, I'm sick of hearing the Lions need a backup quarterback when Hooker's done nothing but show why he's earned the backup spot. Hey, did you guys know that Stafford and Kershaw play the league?
There's one.
It was pretty funny. I saw Stafford's interview with Pardon My Take last week.
Yeah.
The video, and they were kidding him around about it. He goes, oh, really? You hear that before? It was pretty funny. Stafford actually came off really good in that interview. When it comes to, we were talking about Noah Lyles, Tyreek Hill says he could beat him. When it comes to the 100-meter dash, I think Lyles would blow away any NFL player. He was running just over 27 miles per hour after 60 meters in the Olympics.
Yeah, I agree.
But
on the flip side, if you put Noah Lyles in pads...
Well, that was going to be my question.
Yeah.
Like on a track and they both were in pads, what do you think would happen?
That's weird.
I know.
I don't... I'm talking about you put them in pads on a football field and you try and the Raiders did this draft in and draft out for a long time. They would draft some guy that was a former track guy who's the fastest guy on the field and then try and teach him to play football.
Oh, I know.
It just can't do it.
The only one who I remember who he wasn't great, he was okay, was when the 49ers had Ronaldo Nehemiah. Was the hurdler from the University of Maryland, the Olympic hurdler, and he played in the NFL for a little bit. remember the Eagles when I was a kid. They had John Carlos, who was one of the guys who did the, you know, the Black Power thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, he was terrible. He run by everybody. But there was a thing called actually catching the football that he couldn't perfect.
What was his name?
John Carlos.
Oh, wonderful. See him in Vegas. Costa and I are going to be in Vegas on Thursday.
Oh, Friday. That's right. Maybe Vince will be there.
Yeah. Papale.
Noah Lyles is the fastest man in the world. Speaks for itself. Tyreek would get a major taste of reality if he was dumb enough to race him.
Yeah.
I'm sick of people blaming Campbell being aggressive as the reason we lost the NFC title, when factually him being aggressive is the reason we beat the Rams to begin with. I'm sick of hearing Saquon's Barkley name, that guys like Reggie Bush still living off his name in college. Hasn't been special in the NFL, and we all talk like he is. Saquon had a couple of really good years for the Giants,
rookie,
right?
Rookie year was good. He's been banged up. He's also been behind a terrible offensive line.
Yeah.
We got a fresh one in on Ticket Text, and I think this is pretty solid. Are you tired of hearing about Amon-Ra St. Brown's list?
Yes.
No. If that drives him to another all-pro season, if it drives this team to a Super Bowl championship, ultimately it drives him to the Hall of Fame, count that list. Every freaking day.
What about Gator's list? Well, I'm not sick of that, and I never will be.
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
His disdain for kids.
Amon-Ra St. Brown can do the list every day and catch 200 balls off the jugs.
202.
Whatever. We don't have to know about it, though, all the time. That's all. I understand
that.
You
just don't want to see how the sausage is made, do you?
I've seen it.
You don't need to
see it again. I've seen it.
Okay.
Here's Chris Villar.